This morning's gospel text comes from Mark chapter 7, verses 5 through 16. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. This morning, Seth went with us to the first service, and he told me afterwards, he says, about halfway through the message, Dad, have us stand up. And he was fighting sleep this morning, so... But no, I won't have you do that. Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 5, in Jesus' name. The Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands?" And he said to them, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, 'The people honor me with their lips, but their hearts is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.' Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men." He was also saying to them, "You are experts of setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, 'If a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that I would help you is Corban,' that is to say, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that." After he called the crowd to him again, he began saying to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand that there is nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defiles the man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Let us pray. Lord, today again, we just pray that you'll open up this portion of Scripture, reveal something new to us. Lord, again, I pray that you will give me the boldness to preach what you've laid upon my heart, but that, Lord, that it will not fall upon deaf ears, that your Spirit will take and speak to each and every one here today. Lord, touch their hearts, that the heart will be fertile, ready to receive, that their mind will be open to understand, but they'll be attentive to what you have for each one of them. In thy name we pray. Amen. Have you ever been on a bus, a plane, or maybe even in a train? When you're on those public transportations, do you watch people? Have you ever noticed how people seem to do a pretty good job of keeping up a pretty good appearance? Looking normal, if you will. You know, most people make it look like everything's okay with them. Well, maybe it is. But you know, on public transportation, you know that everyone there is dealing with something in their lives. It's the same today here in this church building. People are so good at keeping secrets. They have all kinds of secrets. They have a secret of fear. Maybe it is a secret of regrets, or maybe it's a secret of failures. But most people do a pretty good job of hiding all of their problems. Those people are dealing with sin in their lives as they travel, just as we are dealing with sin in our lives today. People have a very great big talent. They love to put on a happy face, and they love smiling when they're coming into church, and they respond when the question is, "How are you today?" "I'm doing okay." Someone else might say, "I'm great." But it may be that that person has already just happened to slam his finger in the car door before he walked into the church but that person still wants to make it sound like everything's okay. We want it to look like our lives are not falling apart. We want everybody to think that we've got things all sewed up. We've gotten so good at hiding things so that nobody will know what's truly going on with inside of us. How many times have you read or have you heard about a comedian who has gone out and been a comedian for many, many years, and all of a sudden you find out that he just OD'd, overdosed on drugs, because his life was not a barrel of laughs as he tried to make it sound? How many of you know someone whose marriage you would like to have, a marriage that would be one that would be just like that other couple? I'm sure we've all met somebody in our married life that we've found someone who is doing a great job in their marriage. But all of a sudden, that person, that couple, is getting a divorce. The couple was hiding with a very cheerful face all of the troubles that was going on in their home. They were unwilling to seek help, as miserable as they were for years and years. We do such a good job of hiding, don't we? We love to put a mask on when we walk into church on Sunday morning. About 6 years ago, I married a couple. He came to me probably two or three years ago and said, "You know, Pastor," he says, "my marriage, I want to take and fashion it after yours and Sharon's." Well, last Sunday, I made the remark that as married couples, we needed to have an unconditional love for our mate. I told you I failed. This young man felt that what Sharon and I had is what he wanted. The things that I shared with him before they got married, the things that I've shared with him since to help them in their married life, are things that I try very hard to do at home. But we have to realize that there is always problems because the devil's out there. The devil does not want us to have things perfect. You can come to church and you can put on all of the makeup that you want. You can get your hair so it looks just right, and that's why I cut mine short so I don't have to worry about it. You know, and it just, we can do all those right things, but all we're doing is masking up all of the ugliness that's within us. Many people are driven by a feeling that they're worthless. God is calling you and I to faith. We take and confess our faith. We confess what we believe every Sunday morning in the Apostles' Creed. We just sang a hymn about the faith of our fathers living still. But we try to hide behind all kinds of excuses why our faith isn't strong. Oh, because we're too busy. We're so focused on everything else, we can't answer the call that God has called us to. But yet many people are driving brand new vehicles. They've got a big, beautiful home. But they're hiding behind a debt that is enormous. Just to get all of these things, they're burdened. Today we find in our gospel text that the verses just prior to our text, we have to look at those just for a moment to understand that the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes, were going to come to Jerusalem and they were going to confront Jesus Christ. They were hiding behind a bunch of false teachings, and they came arrogantly wanting to trap Jesus Christ. They thought that with all of the conceit, with all of the anger and all of the bitterness built up within them, that they would have the ability to discredit Jesus Christ, and they were going to destroy his credibility with all of the people. To them, it seems so easy. And what they saw was the disciples were eating without washing their hands. Now, kids, just because we're talking about not having to wash your hands before you eat, if your mom or your grandma and grandpa tell you to wash your hands, please wash your hands before you eat. But what we're talking about here, the tradition that the religious leaders were talking about, was a tradition not because they were concerned about germs. No. What they were concerned about was they wanted to be sanitized from all other people. When the Jewish people went to the market, they came home, and the first thing they did was they wanted to wash their hands because they might have brushed up against a Gentile, or they may have touched something that a Gentile had touched. But now that tradition is not supported by God's word. In fact, it really truly goes against what God's word teaches. Do you know why? Because you and I are all Gentiles. And Christ did not have a disdain for the Gentiles. Christ loved the Gentiles. Throughout the Bible, even in the Old Testament, God made it abundantly clear that he loved the Gentiles. The Pharisees, because they were Jews, thought that they were so set apart that they were better than everyone else. Because you know what they could do? They could trace their bloodline right back to Father Abraham. They were so impressed that they could find Abraham there. The Pharisees wanted to puff themselves up. But they messed up when they read God's promise to Father Abraham. You can pick that up from the song on calling him Father Abraham. From Abraham, God had a promise for him. The Jewish people believed that they were to be blessed because they were related to Abraham. But that's not what God's promise had said. God's promise said that all of the people of the earth will be blessed through you, Abraham. All people. It wasn't just the Jewish people that were to be blessed. Now, the great religious leaders of that day, they had abandoned God's word. They were hiding behind man-made traditions. It was always as if they always had to do one up on everybody else. Okay, so if they came home from the market, one would wash his hands, the next one would have to wash his cup. The next one would have to wash his pot. It just kept adding on and on and on with these traditions. The ridiculousness of how some traditions get started. The stupidity and the pride that will oftentimes lead us away from God's word. They got to the point, as Jewish religious leaders, they were going to take and condemn Jesus Christ, God's Son. Not because Jesus had broken God's word, but rather what Jesus Christ had broken was their arbitrary rules that they had set up. Their traditions. But do you notice how Christ handles all of this? He doesn't defend the actions of the disciples in the light of the tradition. Instead, he drops a hammer of the law from Scripture, quoting Isaiah 29, verse 13, which happens to be verses 6 and 7 in our text. Listen to what Jesus said in those two verses again. Rightly did Isaiah's prophecy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Do you hear what God's word is saying? Are you hearing it? They left what God's word had said. All they were doing it was lip service. When we come to church on Sunday morning, is it nothing but lip service? Is it nothing but coming and going through the motions? It's nothing but coming through and declaring that you want forgiveness of your sins. The Pharisees were hanging on to the traditions of men. What about you? What are you doing today? Are you hanging on to traditions, or are you hanging on to God's word? Jesus is saying, in effect, it's not your rules that matter. It's the commands of God that should be your concern and my concern first. The Pharisees were hiding behind their rules. The rules made them feel safe. It made them proud. They had a pride issue. What happens in our lives when we start to hide behind rules? Our pride makes us feel it's like it's okay to sin. Our pride makes us do what we want to do, not what God wants us to do. Kind of hurts, doesn't it? Especially when we start having to apply this to ourselves. Christ says in verses 8 through 13, I want to read those verses again because I think it's very important that you hear what God's word has to say. What did Jesus say to them? Neglecting the commandments of God, you hold to the tradition of men. He goes on to say, you are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would help you is Corban, that is to say, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many such as that. Oh, boy, is he getting tough with us, isn't he? He's telling us we cannot hide behind those rules. We cannot establish traditions not to honor our mother and our father. We cannot, if we take and no longer honor our mother and our father, we no longer are honoring God's word, are we? We have just voided God's word. All by traditions. We sin when we hide behind traditions. Especially traditions that come up against God's word. But what other sins are you hiding today? On Wednesday night at our Bible study, the chapter that we were studying was on sin. It was dealing with the Ten Commandments. You break one of the Ten Commandments, you break them all. But we have to deal with these sins in our lives. Let's just deal with this one of not honoring our father and our mother. Okay? Our parents raised us. Our parents taught us their faith. faith of our fathers, living still. I just love that hymn and how that draws us back to the fact, where did our faith come from? It was taught to us. Now, when our folks become elderly, they need your help and my help. We cannot use some man-made loophole to get out of caring for them. We have to care for our parents. We have to honor our parents. Using traditions to break God's clear command. And these religious leaders were doing a pretty good job of it. But we've got some religious leaders today that are doing this very same thing. They're breaking God's command. You know what it really boils down to? Is that you and I, we think we're pretty good at hiding from the truth. We think we can, you know, because of our pride, because of our issue with sin, we think we're pretty good about hiding from it. But guess what? God knows your heart. God knows every person's heart here today. Rather than you and I confronting our own failures, our own sin, the places that you and I fall short with God's word, we often find comfort in our own ideas. We kind of go to the standards that the world has set and begin to accept them and incorporate them into our churches today. Let's accept what the world is putting out there. Let's stick and become a church of just pure love. Let's just love everybody. You know that you and I, we can be a very lawful person. We can live according to the law of the land, and yet we can get by without loving our neighbor. We'd be a law-abiding citizen. But that's not what God's word says. God says we need to also love our neighbor. God gave you and I a body, and that body is His temple. His temple, not my temple, not your temple, it's God's temple. How many of us have abused our bodies? Kind of hurts, doesn't it, when we have to take and get this personal, doesn't it? You can be a model citizen. You can even be a member of a church. And yet, you can be a total spiritual train wreck. Just because you're a member of a church has nothing to do with your spirituality. When it comes to church traditions, we often ask the question, what have we done in the past? We often hide ourselves from the world in all of these traditions from the past. I believe that what we should be asking is probably the most helpful way is how to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, not what we've done in the past. How are you proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ today? How are, when you leave here, are you leaving with something to share with someone else? Sometimes we feel so comfortable when we walk into the church. We hide in the church sometimes. Rather than praying, God, help us be the church that you want us to be. We don't pray, Lord, we want to be led into a sacrificing and a loving church that's going to love the sinners but hate the sin. How many of us have prayed that in the past week or two? Well, it's a lot easier to smile, isn't it? It's a lot easier to just wave at the body of Christ in our church sanctuary on a Sunday morning. We sit together And rather than honestly sharing the burden that each and every one of us is carrying, we're afraid to even ask our Christian brothers and sisters for help. We do not confess our sins to one another in our church family. But rather, what we do is we hide behind a fake smile, telling everybody everything's okay. You all know that everybody here is struggling in their lives. We all struggle with sin. There's not one person here that is not struggling with sin. Some of you are struggling with disappointments in your life. Some of you are struggling with some selfishness in your life. And some of you are struggling with stupid decisions that you have made in your life. Haven't we all made some stupid decisions in our lives? But today the question I want to ask you is, how many of you are struggling with sin? If I had asked you to raise your hand as to how many are struggling with sin today, there should not have been a hand that didn't go up. We're all guilty. When we stood this morning and faced the altar, we confessed our sins this morning, didn't we? But did you truly mean what you said? I sometimes wonder if we really truly pay attention or if we just say the words. Often we don't mean what we say. We oftentimes pray the Lord's Prayer at the end of a service, and we've gotten so we say it week after week, and pretty soon we don't even think about what we just said. In the Lord's Prayer, we ask for forgiveness from the Lord as we have forgiven others. Who haven't you forgiven? We don't mean it, there's no repentance. If there's no repentance, what happens? There is power in confessing our sins. Not only in the confession that we use, but God's word tells us from 1 John 1, 8 and 9, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, there's power in confession. There's power when we get on our knees and confess, Lord. Confession is so important for so many reasons. But the one thing I think to remember is that Satan loves to hinder us. Satan wants to try and get you to conquer your own sins instead of taking them to the Lord. He wants you to be ashamed. He wants you not to confess to one another. He wants to isolate you. He wants you to feel like nobody else is going to care, and all they're going to do is condemn you if you confess that you've got a problem. The devil wants to beat you up. He wants to walk all over you. He's going to scream accusations at you that you're nothing but a sinner, you're going to hell. Oh, the devil loves that. There's a hymn that we're going to be singing shortly. We're going to sing this hymn today a cappella. We're going to have Jonathan and Patty are going to lead us in this hymn. The hymn is, "A mighty fortress is my God." There is a line in the third verse, and I want you to pay a specific attention to that one line, but I want you to pay attention to the whole word, the whole hymn. But that last line in the end of verse 3 says, "And one little word can fell him." This is talking about the devil. One little word, God's word. And it's God's mercy that's going to come out and flood and devour that hold that Satan has on you. Hey, there's got to be some grace in this message today. Because God doesn't hide. God doesn't hide from Satan. God doesn't hide from you and I. God doesn't put on a fake front on Sunday mornings. But you know what God says? Do you know what he says to each and every one of us? He says, "I love you. I sent my son to die on the cross that you might have life and have it abundantly." Christ went to prepare a place for you and I. He hears our prayers. He even answers our prayers. But to answer our prayers, we need to come. We need to come to the foot of the cross. We need to find Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He'll strip all the hypocrisy within you. He'll strip you of the sin that's in your life. He will take down all of those false walls that you have built up. But you got to come to Jesus, and you got to give him your burden. Today, I want to do something just a little bit different today. At the end of the service today, I'm going to kneel at this altar to pray. To pray for each and every one that's here today. Instead of shaking your hand today, I'm going to pray for you. And what I would like you to do, if you want to come and join me and pray for this church, or if you want to come and have someone pray with you, come. The rest of you, I'm going to ask you to be very quiet as you leave if you don't want to pray. Or if you want to just sit in your pew and pray, you're welcome to do that. Because I want Jesus Christ to say something to each and every one of you today. He says, "My child, you are his child." And he's going to say, "I forgive you because I love you." So let's you and I quit hiding behind the sin that is in our lives. And let's rather have some freedom. Freedom from the bondage of sin in Jesus Christ. Amen. Patty and Jonathan. Hymn 141, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God."
Let's begin. "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabbath, His name, from age to age the same. And He must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through Him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.